Hello and welcome to the weekly podcast from the Mattoon Public Library. This is our weekly conversation to talk about ways to spark ideas, enrich lives, or strengthen our community. Ways the library participates in the community, or in the case this week, ways to provide information to people will find useful as they go about their lives. And this week we're talking about a very important topic, one that most people will encounter, many people will encounter at some point along the way, and that is the issue of hospice, a way to help people who have been identified with terminal illnesses or in the later stages of life, and to help them be comfortable and to help their families along the way. And so to help us with that topic, Nancy Sahy from Lincoln Land Hospice, or Lincoln Land with Sarah Bush Lincoln. Nancy's been with Sarah Bush for 5 years and been in the hospice field for 16 years. And we're glad to have you with us this week.
Thanks. Appreciate being here. Yeah.
Nancy, let's start and just talk about what is hospice?
Well, that's a very broad question. Hospice is, as you said, provision of care at end of life. And it is designed for the last 6 months of life. So that's the first big point to tell people, that it's not for the very end, the last few days. It's for 6 months. And that way we get to know the patient, the family, and how they want things to be, so they can have choices and make the best of the time they have left, whatever time that is. We hope to get to meet people early on. And the way that that happens is through a referral process. They call and let us know what they want, or the doctor does. And we provide care an interdisciplinary team, and what that means is we've got multiple disciplines. We've got a physician, we've got a nurse, we've got a social worker, we've got an aide, we've got a chaplain, we've got volunteers, we've got a whole team of people that provide the care to the patient and family based on their needs. Now, they can choose to have what pieces of that team they want beyond medical care, but it's available because everybody's family is different and so are their needs. It's not 24 hours a day. It is provided on a frequency as the person's family and they need, how their symptoms are doing. And it's also medically a 24-hour service. We are able to come on call versus having to go to the emergency room. If there's trouble breathing or trouble with pain, they can call and get medical care brought right to them.
So you work with both the families and the patients. Is that correct?
Yes, and I think that's equally important for sure.
And typically, who decides, or maybe it depends on the circumstances, but how does that normally go? It's referral, and then who decides whether to utilize your service?
Well, the patient, if they are able to make decisions for themselves, they make that decision. If the patient is not able to speak for themselves, if they're confused in any way, then the family is able to do that, or their next of kin, or their legal guardian. We receive referrals very often from patients and families themselves. So they can have their doctor call us, or they can call us themselves, and then we'll call the doctor to let them know that that's what they would like. And that way anybody can call in, really, and we can get information to them.
So is the first step to really make them feel, I mean, this is obviously can be a difficult time. Maybe it's not always a difficult time for families, but how do you go about making them comfortable or at ease or at peace with the decisions that they have in front of them?
Well, first and foremost, what Lincoln Land does is we are not a selling approach. We're not a hard approach. We do not force anything on people that they do not want. And we ask them what they would like, and we try to find ways to make that happen. I think that not making decisions for people or telling them how things have to be is really the way to go. And I think at this point in life, supporting their wishes is how we make it a little less scary and a little easier on them, and explaining everything every step of the way.
And then from the services or the providers that you mentioned, they can pick the ones that are most important to them, or work with any group of those that they would want to, is that correct?
Yes, we work with a case management system where they have a nurse assigned to them, and that nurse is in charge of their care and is gonna be their primary person. That's the person that'll be coming to the house, assessing them, calling the doctor, making any changes needed based on how they're doing, working with the doctor in that regard. She will be talking to the family about whether they might like to have a home health aide. They'll be contacted by a social worker and by the chaplain and by the volunteer coordinator to offer their services. And not everybody has the same wants and needs, so they can say, you know, I don't want a whole lot of visits. I just want, right now, just the nurse. or when they are needing more or wanting more services, they can take advantage of everything we have to offer, including all those services as well as medications and equipment.
I've heard or seen hospice described as kind of quality of life as opposed to length of life, and also caring as opposed to curing. I mean, I guess it's a form of healthcare, but not kind of the get well kind of healthcare. Is that for your staff? I mean, how do you find people that sort of embrace, or and how do you help families kind of understand or appreciate that?
That is a good description, and it is a mindset that's not easy for everyone to switch to. And the way that I most easily describe it is, when you're battling an illness and a disease, let's say you have cardiac disease or lung disease, Alzheimer's, when you're fighting to keep as healthy as you can and searching for not a cure but a management of it, the diseases can be managed, but then they progress. And you're trying to cure, you're trying to fix problems, and you're working with the doctor, and the doctor says, here's the tests you need to take, here's the medications you need to take, here's the appointments you need to go to, and the doctor is driving the care. Under hospice, once you have a problem that's progressing and you know that it can't be fixed and you need to have the type of care we offer, then the patient drives the care. And the patient said, here's what I want, here's what I don't want, and here's what I'll accept. And then we relay that to the doctor, and the doctors are often very happy to hear that the patient is making their wishes known and that they are able to drive their own care now.
So care is typically in the home? I mean, I know you mentioned to me earlier before we started taping that there are no facilities around, so people typically would go home from the hospital or nursing home. Is that how it normally works?
Well, home is where the patient lives. So they might live at home, they might live in an assisted living facility, they might live in a nursing home. There are no hospice facilities. There's no facilities that provide hospice. We bring the hospice to them. So we're able to follow the patient wherever they may go. They may go home, and then it may become too much for the family to care for them there, and they may need to go to a facility, or they may need to bring additional caregivers in the house, and we help them with that too. So we follow them wherever they go.
Are there typical questions that you often get, or I know particularly in the era of the World Wide Web, a lot of people like to do their own homework and research. Are there resources or places that you would point people to look at if they're exploring a hospice option for their family?
I think that as far as doing research on your own, things that the library might have would be resources about choices they're making. Do they want a feeding tube? What happens if you try to push fluids on someone whose organs are shutting down? Learning about the disease, this is a good thing. Knowing where they're at in the disease, but asking questions of their doctor about where they're at, and also the best option is to call us for information. We can come to your home and meet with your family and you, and to provide just questions and answers. Answer questions about what we can and can't do. Answer questions about what we do and don't provide. And that doesn't mean you have to be going on to hospice or ready for it yet. You need the information so that you can make the decision when you are ready. And that's another thing, is knowing when you're ready.
Do living wills and that sort of thing come into play with hospice?
No, living wills are nice to communicate to your family what types of things you might like, but they're not a legal document like a power of attorney for health care and a POLST form, which is a practitioner order for life-sustaining treatment. In those forms, you can legally detail out what you do and do not want done for you. For example, some people do want CPR, but they do not want to be on a ventilator. Well, that can be at a cross purpose for them. So they may also say, oh, I don't want a tube feeding, or I do not want excessive measures taken, or they may want those things. So those forms kind of spill those out, and they also say, if I can't speak for myself, this is the person that can do it. So those forms come into play in that we know who to talk to. There might be, you know, 9 children in a family, and that'll tell us which one can make the decision.
Mm-hmm. I know it kind of takes a special touch in some of these cases. And I know we talked a little bit earlier that your one area of healthcare that not only does, but is required to use volunteers. Can you tell us a little about that and how people who might be interested could consider to getting involved?
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing about hospice is the government requires us by law to have 5% of our labor be volunteer. So we don't do that with the professionals, licensed staff, of course, like nurses or social workers, things like that. But we do have volunteers that can help greatly enhance someone's life. People can be very stuck at home, which is not, by the way, a requirement for hospice like it is for home health. People on hospice can go out and enjoy good days and bad days, but they may be needing a little help and a little companionship. And when someone's in a nursing home, they may not be able to go out to the dining room as much if they're bedbound or if they're sick. So having people come visit them, read to them, maybe socialize, maybe they can help them write letters to their grandchildren if they're too weak to write them themselves. We also have volunteers that help us in the office, but mostly visiting patients and helping with some errands for them, doing little, we've got volunteers that do yard work, we have volunteers that help with hair, things that, that would just enhance the person's life.
And in that course of that act, those tasks, I assume they also encounter other family members and get a chance to hold their hand and that sort of thing?
Providing support, yeah. I think a large part of the volunteer is focused on the patient's life and on helping them, but we certainly do have the spiritual support and the social support from our chaplain and our social workers. What's interesting about what they do, it's more of a support staff than it is anything else. Although our social workers can help with preparations, funeral preparations, and guiding them where to go for applying for Medicaid or Social Security, that type of thing. And our chaplain certainly can pray with people and can do those things. Their roles are supporting that person and their journey. There may be things they need to reconcile in their life. There may be loved ones that they're estranged with, they'd like to reconnect with before they die. There may be things that they've done in their past that they really need to reconcile with themselves and work through so that they can feel at peace and everyone is comfortable and prepared when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have favorite stories or favorite kind of to tell or talk about?
You know, the first one that popped into my head, I tell it a lot, but it pretty much sums up what happens in a lot of families. In our society, people don't like to talk about death and dying, even though it's around us. We've all experienced it in family members, and at some point we're going to experience it with ourselves and our loved ones, our families. I like to talk about, I went to a patient's house, and the family had requested information about hospice. When I got there, the daughter answered the door, and she said, "Don't tell Mom she's dying. My brothers and sisters are all in the living room with her, but we don't want her to know she's dying." I said, "Well, if your mom's not confused, at some point we will have to talk about hospice and that this is what we're offering. But I can talk in generalities and talk about what services we provide to begin with." So we started talking about that in the living room, and I'm answering their questions about hospice and, you know, what equipment can we provide you and what medications are we paying for and all that. Then the doorbell rang and the pizza guy was there. So all the brothers and sisters ran into the kitchen and they're preparing their plates with pizza. And I said, "Okay, well, we'll just wait here." And while the family was out of the room, the patient leaned into me and said, "Well, don't tell my family I'm dying." So then I thought, okay, generally speaking, people aren't wanting to talk about it, but everybody knows it's happening. So it was really helpful to them that it was out in the open, that we could facilitate that discussion. And they came back in the room and I said, "Okay, everybody, here's a secret you're all keeping from each other." And then we were able to move forward and talk about what it really is.
And so everybody could be at peace with what was happening.
They didn't have to worry about how each other felt about it because we were all at the same purpose.
Yeah. Good. Nancy, anything else that we haven't talked about that you think would be important for people to know or consider as they encounter the need for your services?
Well, and sometimes people don't feel that they need it. You hear a lot of, "Well, I'm not that bad yet." Well, don't wait till you're bad. We don't want you to be bad. We want you to be thriving and enjoying the time you have left. So think of it as also help for your loved ones. A lot of the time people don't want to burden their loved ones, and this is a way to bring a nurse in if you fall and they want you checked out. You don't have to we can bring the nurse in. If you need help with bathing and your family is exhausted because they've been trying to maintain the schedule of caring for you, this is a way to bring them some help. We can get an aide in there. We can get a social worker in there, find some resources for you. I think it's just call us sooner rather than later for the information.
And as people have questions or would like to reach out, what's the right place to call or email, or what's the way people normally reach out to you?
Well, the best thing is to call our office. There's always a nurse there and can talk you through things and can give information even over the phone, but or set up an appointment to come meet with you. And that's just at Lincoln Land. It's 800-454-4055. And then go from there based on what you'd like.
Great. Nancy, thanks for being with us, and thanks for the information. And if you have questions or comments for Nancy, please reach out to her and check back with us again next week for the podcast from the Mattoon Public.